Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Hebrews with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 1, ending in verse 3, where we see a declaration about faith, spanning only 14 words, and yet is one of the most important and profound declarations for us to hold on to today. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Hebrews 11, verse 1.
Morning, second service. Good morning. It's great to be with you. If you have a Bible, would you please turn it open to Hebrews chapter 11? And I will invite you here just to read along with your eyes as I read out loud. Hebrews chapter 11. Our text this morning will be verses 1 through 3. And if you didn't bring a Bible with you, the verses here from God's Word will be on the center screen behind me. I encourage you to follow along in that manner. We are in Hebrews chapter 11, beginning here in verse 1. The writer says, "Now faith, it is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen." A 14-word definition of this phrase, faith. A topic that is spoken about so much in Scripture, one that Jesus applauds and one that he gives high recognition to when somebody would come to him with faith. Here is the only definition that we have, and it is again given to us by way of 14 words. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. We want to let this sink in this morning. It is the evidence of things not yet seen. For by it, verse 2 reads, and it's speaking here contextually, it's speaking of in the sphere of faith. He's saying, by it, the elders obtained a good report. Obtained is passive. It means it was something that they received from God apart from themselves. God put his favor of a good report upon them simply because they believed in him and his word. They had nothing else to do with this good report. It's passive. He says, for by it, speaking of faith, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, he includes us in this, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Listen, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And now what he's going to do for the duration of the chapter, and we're going to see this in the weeks to come, is he's going to give us character studies to illustrate to us what he's saying here by way of this definition. He's going to say, listen, here's what faith means biblically. Here's what faith means according to the Holy Spirit of God. Here is your definition. Now, let me give to you a bunch of different people. Men and women of old that had finished their race strong. That's the key here. They finished their race strong. And these are people that he holds up, inspired by the Spirit of God, as motivation to you and I. Not just to start well, but to finish well. You could say, humanly speaking, that this could be called the Hall of Shame. But the Holy Spirit here brings no mention of sin, no mention of faults or failures in any of these people's lives. Rather, he holds them up. Heaven holds them up for an example to you and I to say these are men and women of like passions, men and women who are just like you and I are, and they did it. They finished strong, and you can too. He's going to go on and say this, by faith, Abel. By faith, Enoch. Verse 7, by faith, Noah. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham. Verse 11, through faith, Sarah. For you ladies, if you're here and you're saying, where's all the ladies at? Here's a lady for you. Through faith, Sarah. By faith, verse 20, Isaac. By faith, Joseph, verse 22. By faith, Moses, verse 23. And it's repeated in verse 24. By faith, Moses again. By faith, verse 30, again, we read of the walls of Jericho falling down. This is by faith, he's saying. And then it goes on to say in verse 32 to the end of the chapter. I mean, we could spend all day, the writer saying, going through men and women in the Old Testament who finished strong by faith. He says, time will fail us. I mean, we can call Gideon to the stand. He finished by faith. We can call Samson to the stand. He finished by faith. We can call David to the stand. He has a wonderful name, and he finished by faith. We can call all of these people. Isaiah, who was sawn asunder, sawn in two, he finished by faith. Faith, 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 all the way to the end. And if you say that's not enough, I'm not encouraged. I look at those people. It doesn't stir my soul. He says, well, then let's do this. Let's lift our eyes to the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy who was set before him, he endured the cross, and he despised the shame. And his name is Jesus in chapter 12. So, Lord, as we explore your word this morning, we're going to need your help by your Holy Spirit to, first of all, I think a text like this calls for attention. I mean, we can't grab a hold of the substance, the truths that are here, apart from you, Holy Spirit, holding our attention. I think that this is an easy sermon for our minds to drift in, to be distracted with thoughts and cares, God, of this day and this week and so on and so forth. So we're asking you, Lord, that you would anchor our spirits with your truth this morning. We don't want to be just emotional, God. We will become fickle if that's the case. We want to be anchored by your truth, and you're giving us definitions here. You're giving us this prelude to understand this walk of faith that you're calling us to before we do get stirred up by those who have ran their race to win. So for this Sunday right now, God, I pray that you would settle us in our seats. Open our ears and open our hearts and give us understanding of this hot topic in your book. We want a biblical, sound understanding of what you have called us to walk by, faith. So please, Lord, enable me. I am not able to communicate these things. They're beyond me. I'm going to ask you, Lord, that you would fill me afresh right now with your Holy Spirit. Control my tongue, my tone, my tune, everything that flows from this stage. And I pray, Lord, that this church would benefit from this time gathered together around your word. Thank you for this second service, Lord. Thank you for the liveliness. Thank you for the half hour of worship through song and praise. We seek to continue our worship and our learning now. And it's in Jesus' name and for Jesus' glory that all God's people said, amen. Amen. I'm calling my message this morning, now, semicolon, faith. Because in the Greek, whenever there's a semicolon in the New Testament scripture, that is a description of an indefinite time period. Just, you know, it's this now sort of pause, however long you need to pause, and then faith. And we're going to begin this morning with this definition given to us of faith. And then in the weeks to come, and it's going to probably take us several of weeks, we're going to move through this chapter that's going to further explore and illuminate to us what this, you know, what this word biblically actually means. And so we want to come to it this morning sort of slowly and sort of meditatively, and we want the Lord to teach us and give us understanding of what he's speaking about. We're not speaking about faith in faith. We're not speaking, nowhere here is that you've got to have more faith. It's because you have a lack of faith. There's no prosperity stuff going on in this. There's no name it and claim it here that arises from this chapter. Like, for instance, if I sneeze right now, I got to have more faith. I will declare that I am not sick. Like, that's not this. That's not what's being preached from these pages. What gives us the context here of faith is the resource that we are putting our faith in, and that is Jesus Christ. Like, he's the substance of that faith. And you think of our lives and how much you know, we all have to have faith just to get by in society today. You should sort of understand this topic of faith, right? I mean, you drink water out of the faucet, having faith that the water that comes out is okay for you to drink. You might not realize that that's what you're doing, but you do that. You go to a restaurant and you order food, there's a requirement of faith, isn't there? That you're going to eat this food by hands that you have not seen that made it. And you're going to eat with silverware, I used to be a dishwasher, that may have dropped on the floor and was picked up by a 14-year-old boy and said, this is no problem, you know. I mean, there's faith. How about even the currency, the monies that we receive, this paper or a check? There's faith that that money is going to be backed up with something that's going to give us the ability to buy and purchase our needs. So we are accustomed to exercising faith to some degree. But this morning, the writer here is seeking to take this theme, this topic of faith, and encourage us. He's worked through 10 chapters to bring us to this now, for faith. And he's building on where he left us in chapter 10. I want to review it with you quickly. In chapter 10, verse 35, here he comes to this place where he distinguishes between those who started strong and then fell away, and those who started strong and are called to finish strong. Two separate groups. He says in verse 35 of chapter 10, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need, he's speaking of the church here. If there's anyone in this room this morning that is a genuine lover of Jesus Christ, he's speaking to you. He's saying this right now. He says, for you have need. He's telling you straight up. You have need of patience. You're thinking, yeah, I do. I mean, with my children, my spouse. No, that's not what he's speaking here. It's better translated endurance. Whether you understand it or not, no matter how much you might think that you love Jesus right now, the reality of Christianity is that you have a great need for endurance. You might love him out of the gate like it's nobody's business. You might be zealous and on fire for the Lord today. But the writer, inspired by the third person of the Trinity, says this to you. The reality is this, it's a long haul. It's a long road of obedience that God is calling us to. And in order to stay on that path and to be faithful to that calling, you are going to need endurance. You're going to need endurance. Don't talk about how hot you used to be for Jesus. Don't talk about how many people you once led to the Lord. Don't talk about those glory days when you used to read the Bible morning, noon, and evening. He says those things are wonderful. But the reality is this. Many start that way. And many fall away, and some fall away unto destruction. They never come back to Christ. That's called apostasy. We're told by Paul in other places that's going to be more prominent in the last days. He says, but you're not those people. I don't want you to be those people, God says to you this morning. You're different, but you need to understand this. You're still going to need power from on high to endure, because Christianity is no easy thing. Okay? That's what he's saying to us this morning. You young people that are in the room, maybe because your parents come here and they brought you, maybe because you're at the age where you've chose to come. This is your church now. You need to understand it's not going to be easy to walk with Jesus. You need to understand that you will be, at times, the outcast. You will be made fun of. You will be mocked. You will be scorned because you're going against the flow of this world. And it doesn't get easier the older you get. It will always be the straight and narrow that leads to eternal life. And the writer here is saying this, in order to stay on the straight and narrow, you need endurance from God. He goes on to say this to us. You have this need that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, verse 37. In the Greek, it's emphatic. It's an exciting statement. It's yet a little while, a very little while, it says. The time will come where Jesus will appear for us and he will no longer tarry. Now, quoting Habakkuk, verse 38, he says, the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul, God speaking, shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them. You see this? I'm pointing to the left side of the room. It has nothing to do with you guys. I'm distinguishing there's two groups here. He's saying this, there's a we and there's a them. We, those who are truly in Christ, are not of them. Those who once were following Christ but no longer. That is not God's plan for any of you. We are not of them. There will be none of that here in the sanctuary. The goal here is to get everybody to cross the finish line, to receive the promise, to receive the prize, to receive your eternal inheritance from Jesus Christ. That's the goal here. Not letting failure have its final say over any of God's people. We're not of them, he says. It's like Habakkuk said, the just shall live by faith. A verse that is quoted three times in the New Testament. The first in Romans, the emphasis is the first part of the phrase, the just. Paul takes time to develop the theme of what it is to be just. The second part, shall live. Paul speaks of that in Galatians chapter 3. The emphasis is the living that we have in Christ. And then the final part here, given to us in Hebrews chapter 10 into chapter 11, by faith. The just shall live by faith. That's how Habakkuk did it. That's how Abraham did it. That's how David did it. That's how Gideon did it. That's how anybody who was anybody who followed Christ finished by faith. We are not of them who draw back unto perdition or a wasteful life. Don't waste your life falling away from Christ. But we are of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now, faith. For faith. And he takes the time for the duration of the chapter to open this to us. So ideally, I'd have about an hour and a half with you, and I would take you through this whole chapter and show you the progression of the form that faith takes in each of these people's lives, and I'd apply it to you accordingly. But because of time constraint, we have to chop the chapter up in chunks that are sort of bite-sizable for each of us each Sunday. So this morning, we just sort of want to slow our roll a little bit, if you would, and we want to sort of mull over this idea that God esteems and he lifts up and he calls us to, this idea of faith. And we sort of want to look at it and explore it and allow it to settle into our hearts before we move further and look at these character sketches that the Holy Spirit gives to us. And as I sought the Lord and asked him for the ability to break this down, I feel like he gave me sort of three ways to do that with you this morning. And the first thing that I want to do as we talk about our faith this morning is talk about our faithful Father. The writer doesn't do that in this portion of Scripture because the Holy Spirit had other plans. But the Holy Spirit has these plans for you this morning, I believe strongly. And that is a time of reflection for just a few minutes as we begin this series, if you would, on this chapter of faith. And I want you to consider, as I'm calling you to faith in Jesus, I want you to consider this source that you're putting your faith in and how faithful our Father has been to you. Because if you're telling me that I need to have faith in something or someone, my first thing to you is going to be this: why? If I don't know them, or know much about them, I'm gonna wanna know what the reasoning is for me to put such stock in another person or being. Wouldn't you sort of feel that way too? So I think it's only reasonable, sensible to say to you this morning that you should consider his faithfulness, just in general, and then specifically to you, as you contemplate placing your faith and trust in him in an even greater measure. I guess why I'm so overwhelmed by this portion is I just got back from Israel. Not even 2 days ago. And the theme that the Lord ministered to me during those 11 days of being in the Holy Land is God's faithfulness. Faithfulness to a country that is smaller than the size of the state of New Jersey. Just in every which way, God has been faithful to this land that has been under attack, that has had opposition, oppression, animosity, since its conception, God's faithfulness to this people that he brought his son into the world through. Being in this land, again, geographically, the topography, considering all of these things, all the practical things to the spiritual things, God's faithfulness to these people is overwhelming, and it should cause you this morning to have your soul stirred. I say that to you because Paul says this: if God's been faithful to them, then surely God will be faithful to you. Because I begin talking about Israel and the Jews, you might be thinking, listen, I didn't come to church to hear about your trip. I didn't come to church this morning to hear about a nation that's over 6,000 miles away. But you see, if you love Jesus and you love his word, then you understand that you're called to contemplate this physical example of God's faithfulness in Romans 9 through 11. When Paul's speaking all the goodness of God towards the believer, he stops and does his parenthetical portion. He says, consider Israel. Consider this people for thousands of years that God has been faithful to and is being faithful to and will be faithful to. And if he has been, is, and will be to them, he will be to you who's been grafted in. Do you understand? So you do have a connection to them. You do have a connection to God's people. Your Savior is a Jew, by the way. And I'm standing in the Holy Land, and I'm looking at the surrounding nations. I'm looking at Lebanon. I'm looking at Syria. I'm looking at Iran. And I see land that is brown. I see land and air and masses that are arid. I look around, I see all these things in the Middle East as it should be, and then I'm standing there in the middle of Israel, and I see green, lush grass everywhere with palm trees and fruits and vegetables budding off of the trees. Number one, number two, exporters in all of the world. I'm looking at this land, and I'm listening to my tour guide, and he's telling us about the enormity of natural gasoline they have just found in Israel. They're sitting on gasoline. It makes a lot of sense as to why the hook in the jaw, Russia, might come down from up north. They do not like that Israel has found the amount of gasoline they have found, as they are the number one suppliers, Russia, to Europe as of right now. But now there's a threat. The state of New Jersey in size, the nation of Israel. I think of the oil. I think of the gasoline. I think of the lush ground. I think of the intelligence that God has given these people to facilitate the resources that he has given to them. And I think about the faithfulness to these people that by large, by many, have stiff-armed Jesus the Messiah. He's being faithful to them even in the midst of their rejection of him. So many of the people in that land will tell you that Jesus was nothing more than a prophet. Jesus was nothing more than a good man. I got talking to a bartender one night as I ordered a coffee, and he asked me why I was here. He said, are you here to party in Tel Aviv? I said, no, I'm here on a church tour, visiting the Holy Land, man. It's amazing. You believe in Jesus. And right away, the tone changed. The look on his face changed. Believe in Jesus as what? He said to me. I said, believe in Jesus as the Son of God. He said, Jesus is not the Son of God. Nor is he God. That is not true. He's a prophet at best. I said, John says this, chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.